And I'm your host, Andy Pate, sitting in for John Rush this week. And next to me is Corey Pate, my beloved bride.
Hello, thanks for having me.
It's fun to have you. And let's see here. On the line right now, we have Josh Malone, the creator of Buncho Balloons. Josh, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, I know we're going to talk about patents and patent, you know, the patent office and big business and all this kind of stuff. But first, I'm sorry, I just got to know, who are you and what is Buncho Balloons? That just sounds too cool.
Well, I'm a father. I'm a former student at Colorado School of Mines in Golden. So I've got connections to your network.
Welcome home.
But I'm educated as an engineer, and I went to work for Texas Instruments as an engineer in high tech. And I just kind of got stifled after about a decade there, and I was looking to spread my wings and start a business and pursue the American dream. And so I quit my job to become an inventor and launch my own business, my own products.
Okay, now, and before you even get into that invention, what is it like to set aside your education and everything you've built up into that point and become an inventor? I know you're applying your education toward that, but still, you went in such a new direction.
I think I was just made for it. We had a growing family at the time. We had five children and one on the way. And
wow.
I had a conversation with my wife that I really want to be an entrepreneur. I've got this idea. I think I might need to pursue it. And she said, that sounds great. Sounds like, you know, you that sounds like that would suit you. Now, she didn't expect me to quit my job the next day.
Oh, no.
Surprise.
But it was, so it was with a lot of trepidation and faith and counting the cost. And we said, look, we've got one shot at this. Let's try it. If it doesn't work out, I go back to the corporate world so we can pay our bills and move on. So we had a mutual understanding that this was high risk. It was going to be an adventure, but it was worth a try.
Okay, what is Buncho Balloons?
Buncho Balloons came after 7 years of trial and struggle and different inventions and products and some, you know, we were scraping by trying to get ahead as an inventor and pay some bills and put the kids to, you know, prepare the kids for college. And it kind of was at the end of the line when I set out really to solve this balloon problem. And so for me, it was, you know, filling and tying water balloons is too difficult and it takes too long and the fights go too fast. And so I went, after a lot of tinkering, I came up with a solution, and it's what's called Buncho Balloons. It fills 100 water balloons in 1 minute, and they tie themselves.
Oh, wow.
Really? It fills 100 water balloons in 1 minute, and they tie themselves. So any kid who has this is the most powerful kid on their block.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, not just them, but their dads, too.
Yeah, I know.
Let's be honest. It's for the dads.
It just sounds incredible for parties. I'll bet you have a lot of people who arrange parties around an area.
Oh, yeah. We
who are your clients?
Counselors and the, you
right.
know, and the party. Yeah, we saved a lot of fingers with our invention.
So, we heard about your patent and that it was almost immediately infringed. Can you tell us about that? What happened?
Yeah, well, I thought you get a patent and that protects you and you can build a business on it. And that's kind of a whole part of our system. And I was really stunned. A large corporation, telemarketing company, saw my invention on Kickstarter and they copied it, changed the color, put their own name on it, and went to market.
Oh, wow.
Why didn't the patent provide any protection?
Well, these large corporations, it turns out they realize that there's no patent police. You know, if you copy a video or infringe other types of intellectual property, the FBI gets involved. There can be criminal penalties. But for some reason, when it comes to patents on inventions, there's no one to help you. You have to go to court. And they've realized that the the legal system has gotten so expensive and so complicated, and it takes so long that they have this catch me if you can approach. So it's easy for them to just copy the technology. And this company, I found out, is notorious for this. They started out in the 80s copying Sony Walkmans, and then PhyMaster, they had PhyShaper, and like a lot of those products that you see, I've seen on TV, like the Spin Mop and the Pocket Hose and the Pet Egg, most of those are copies of original products that they were just able to flood the market with cheap knockoffs, and
that's
then
terrible.
Turn it over to their lawyers to take care of the problem with the little pesky inventor.
That's terrible. Well, the board that's supposed to guard the gateway to that kind of thing is the Patent Trial and Appeal Board. They're the ones who are supposed to protect you from that kind of thing. How come they're failing? Why are they so bad for inventors and for damaging innovation?
Yeah, thanks for steering me to that. That's the biggest problem right now. For 200 years, America had a very unique patent system where a patent was a property right, and it was subject to due process and Fifth Amendment and trial by jury, and you got a real federal judge to oversee your case. And they uprooted that. In 2011, Congress passed the America Invents Act. And like so many of these pieces of legislation, it does the opposite of what it says.
What'd it do?
They created a tribunal inside the patent office whose job is to invalidate patents. And so historically you had the patent office would review the application. It was very rigorous, and they would have, you know, you spend sometimes 2 or 3 years getting approval, and then the patent office would, a lot of times they would reject you, right? But sometimes they'll issue you a patent. But under this new law, they added to that another division, and there's 250 administrative patent judges, and they decided, I think mostly big tech was behind this. They said, you know, patents aren't so great. We should look closer at them and stop these inventors. They called us patent trolls, and they said patents were blocking them from innovating. And so now this Patent Trial and Appeal Board has reviewed 3,000 patents, and they've invalidated 84% of them.
Oh, now, wait a minute. Let me ask you this, because you got this little board. And by the way, maybe I'm sure some of those decisions were valid, right? They're saying you can't have this patent because this thing has already been done. But here's the bottom line. You got this little board in a country that in many ways is run by big tech and people who literally have hundreds of billions of dollars. Can't these big, powerful people influence them to shoot down patents for the little guy?
Well, yeah, it was Google in 2010, 2011 that was in and out of the Obama White House 3 times a day. We found out this was one of their big projects, was to set up this patent board. And then they got the head of patents for Google appointed to run the patent office in 2014. And so now the head of patents for Google is setting up this system, hiring her cronies to come in and sit as administrative judges. And it's no wonder they're invalidating so many patents. They don't want the threat of some startup interrupting their monopolies. And this has been an incredibly effective tool to preserve their monopolies and protect them from inventors with better ideas and better products.
Okay, let's look ahead a little bit. Corey has a question.
Yeah, so I've heard that there is a Supreme Court case coming up next year that's going to address the qualifications. So what is this case all about? Can you fill us in on that?
Yeah, it actually happened. It's underway right now. The Supreme Court is looking at these, so they call them judges, right? I mentioned they're administrative patent judges.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that term judge has a significant meaning. The Appointments Clause, the Constitution says judges, it says officers, have to be appointed by the president and confirmed by the Senate. Well, they skipped that process, and they're in trouble for it. And the Supreme Court is looking very closely at how these guys got to run this incredible power over billions and billions of dollars of assets. And wait a minute, why didn't they go through the Senate for that rigorous examination and confirmation process?
Okay.
That's the question. Yep.
That's a great question. Hey, Josh, just got a minute left here. What can small guy inventors, you know, little guy, what can they do when they're faced with this going forward?
Yeah, there's, there are some practical things you can do. One is to just plan on being copied. Like I tell inventors, you know, what would you do if you were an inventor in some third world country where there's no rule of law and there's corruption? You would find a way. You would just be educated and you would just plan on being tenacious and creative and surviving. So just plan on this. Just be aware and educated. And number two, join U.S. Inventor. We are a nonprofit. We're finally giving inventors a voice where we didn't think we needed. We didn't think patents were political, where it turns out they are. So join up with U.S. Inventor. It's a grassroots organization. We're educating and helping, and we're working to change the laws.
Well, Josh Malone,
change the laws back to the way they used to be when America was really leading the world.
Well, Josh Malone, thank you so much for opening our eyes to this, because I got to be honest, I didn't know how big business was basically crushing innovation from the little guy. Thank you for helping us know this. But more importantly, how can people find out more about you and U.S. Inventor?
Yeah, usinventor.org is the voice of inventors. Please go there and join, sign up. It's a grassroots movement. We're counteracting millions and millions of dollars in power and influence by the big tech companies. We're counteracting that by numbers and grassroots. So usinventor.org. And I'm on social media as Josh Malone or Josh the Balloon Guy. Love to connect with folks there.
But basically, if anybody's thinking of inventing anything, the very first place they need to go to is U.S. Inventor, because, folks, you need to gather together with the other little guys so you're not so little anymore. Sound right, Josh?
That's right.
Fantastic. Well, Josh Malone, thank you so much for joining us today. You're welcome back anytime.
Thank you.
You bet. Have a great day. Okay, up next is Affordable Interest Mortgage with Kurt Rogers. Folks, with rates this low, every day you don't call Kurt to get refinanced is a day you're wasting money. So start saving real money. Call Kurt at 720-895-0500 or go to aimortgage.net.
Can you believe how low rates are staying? Still in the twos. Back in the 40s and the 50s, rates were in the 5 to 6% range. How much longer are you going to wait? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Your home has never been worth more. Take AIM to get that lower rate or shorten your term. Lower your payment and pay thousands less in interest. It's your money. Call 720-895-0500 now. Affordable Interest Mortgage. Locally owned and family operated since 2001. Are you ready for the future financially? Many of our clients have the ability to access their equity for 30 years without raising their payments now. This prepares them for those speed bumps of life. Ask how you can become mortgage safe too. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where a reputation of putting you first and listening to you is unmatched in Colorado. Call 720-895-0500 now so you can focus on what's important, family. Regulated by DOR, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
All right, Roof Max is up next. Big storm coming. Roof takes a pounding. Add in wind and hail over the coming months, and your roof needs help. But there's good news. This month, there's a $200 discount on Roof Max Rejuvenation. Just call Dave Hart at 303-710-6916, and he'll add 5, 10, even 15 years to the life of your roof. That's Roof Max at 303-710-6916.
Roof Max in South Aurora keeps your roof going strong with Roof Rejuvenation. Modern asphalt shingles are manufactured with less oil than they used to be, so they dry out sooner, leaving them brittle and unable to expand and contract with the extreme temperature swings. Especially here on the Front Range, where your roof handles high elevation sun, UV exposure, and severe spring and summertime storms, along with more than twice the national average snowfall, your shingles wear out even faster. Roof Rejuvenation with Roof Max could save you up to 85%. Just one application of their all-natural bio oil immediately adds 5 years to your roof, guaranteed. With up to three applications every 5 years, Roof Max could help your roof last 15 years longer. Save thousands of dollars by extending the life of your roof instead of replacing it. Call Dave Hart with Roof Max in South Aurora now at 303-710-6916.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate sitting in for John Rush along with Corey Pate. And on the line right now, we have David Ditch from Heritage. David, welcome to Rush to Reason.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Now, you just wrote, I'm just going to say it, a great article, 8 Things You Must Know About Deeply Flawed COVID-19 Package. And before you jump into this, I just want to tell you something. When these big bills come along, the Democrats put them, they're bloated, they cause incredible damage. But because they're so huge, we don't know how to boil down the problems with them when we explain them to people. So I just want to thank you right now for doing that. And what did you find in this bill that is really terrifying?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, where to start? Well, let's start at the top.
Okay.
This bill, there's no pretense of this bill being actually paid for. This is going on the national credit card. And if I were to tell you, okay, tomorrow I'm gonna buy a car in your name and you're going to have to pay for it, I think you might have some words about that. Well, this bill is going to add $14,000 per household to the national debt.
Wow. Wow. Okay. That's terrifying.
Well, if that's not scary enough, right now every household has somewhere between $215,000 and $220,000 of existing national debt. That's their share.
That's insane.
That's horrible. And but David, people always think, oh my gosh, that's so far out in the future, it'll never be paid down anyway, therefore I don't care.
It's not a matter of whether we pay it down to nothing, and it's not as though it's all going to come due at once. The problem is that we're setting ourselves up for catastrophe. Interest rates are low right now, and if you listen to the Biden administration, they think that this is sufficient reason for any amount of spending that they want. The fact of the matter is that we can't count on interest rates being low forever. We have to go to the market and say, please buy our debt, and please buy it as cheaply as possible. Someday the market could very well say, I don't know if we like lending you money for essentially nothing. And if there's a day of reckoning anytime soon, we're going to be paying through the nose.
Well, David, the price tag and the future consequences is terrifying. But let me tell you what really angers me the most. This thing has almost nothing to do with COVID.
Yeah.
Okay. Look, the reason we're pushing this through is because supposedly people are so desperate for $1,400 per person. Oh, gee, by the way, just open up states and you don't need it. But setting that aside, this has nothing to do with COVID. Very little. Am I right?
Yeah, so depending on how you want to break it out, you can look at total health care spending. That's like 9% of the bill. But when I drill down the numbers and look at what actually is responding to the pandemic, which is the big issue facing the country right now, it's only 5% of the bill.
I just can't even wrap my mind around all of this. And then I just saw, too, that you're saying that this education spending isn't actually going to open schools. What's that all about?
Yeah. So there were already multiple pieces of legislation passed to address the pandemic. One of them just came out in December. And there is between $50 and $60 billion that school districts across the country are in the process of acquiring and figuring out how to spend. And nonpartisan analysts have looked at it and said, okay, it's going to take them the rest of the year to spend that money, and this is when we're going to be reopening. And now this bill wants to throw over $100 billion more at schools. Well, it's going to take them so long to spend that money, they're going to be spending more in 2025 and 2026 than in 2021. And if we're still, quote-unquote, reopening schools 4 or 5 years from now, we've got bigger problems.
David, if we throw $170 billion at education, what we're doing is paying off teachers' unions so they can give more money to the Democrat Party. Am I being succinct there? Am I being honest?
I mean, what I see this as being is it gives a talking point to the teachers unions in various parts of the country that are dragging their feet on doing their jobs and in reopening schools. A lot of them are saying, okay, we won't go back until Congress passes this $170 billion, even though the $170 billion isn't going to do anything
right
to give them what they want, what they supposedly care about.
Well, and you know what upsets me the most about education and this type of spending? The kids are the ones who are suffering the most right now. They're not learning. They're missing their teachers and their classrooms and their friends. And parents are trying to juggle their careers, which they need to pay the bills, and also trying to help their poor children, who a lot of them are having emotional meltdowns every day from the stress of trying to do remote learning.
Yeah, and honestly, I mean, I'm all about the dollars and cents. You know, I'm a greeny, eye shades guy. But you're right. The education stuff, this situation is what upsets me the most by far.
Well, this is just sick. Okay, we got about another three and a half minutes here. David, what else can we tell people very quickly and simply is wrong with this bill?
So one of the things that Democrats initially were sort of hiding, but now they're touting, is the fact that it is a massive expansion of the welfare state. And they always try to couch this in terms of helping people, helping families. The reality is that the amount of aid that's already been given out last year, that's going to be given out independently this year because of expanded unemployment benefits, the federal government is doing more than it ever has to cushion the blow of people losing jobs, to provide an ample safety net. What they're trying to implement here is the kind of cradle-to-grave welfare state that, frankly, welfare reform back in the 90s was intended to stop. Now they're trying to get it in through the back door.
Yeah, basically just rob your fellow man in perpetuity. I just can't understand this. Can you go into the thing that may infuriate me the most, and that's the blue state bailout?
Yeah, so let's put this in context. This bill provides $350 billion for state and local governments. Guess what? You would have to take every penny that the state of Colorado, the people of the state of Colorado produce in the economy, every penny this year, to pay for that $350 billion. They almost identically match. And the states and localities that need that money the most, well, they don't really need it because they already got more than they need last year, but the ones that are begging for it are the ones that spend more than they can afford, giving generous benefits to their cronies. It's states like California. It's states like my home state of New York. They need to get their act together, and this bill just lets them keep doing what they've been doing.
Doesn't this basically just reward states that didn't open up? So they stay closed down longer, put themselves further in the hole, and then smart states that did open up and ramp up their economy, they got to pay for them.
Exactly. It allows one kind of failure to beget another kind of failure.
That's unreal. That's unreal. Okay, David, before you leave here, this is a great article, and there's no way people can remember it all unless they read it. So how can people read more of your stuff and this article in particular from Heritage?
If you search for my name, David Ditch, and just type in David Ditch Heritage, you can find my author's link, and I write about lots of things having to do with spending. I'm also when we get into infrastructure later this year, that's going to be my focus, and that's the next big pile of pork that Washington's going to try to cram down our throat.
And we're going to need you, David Ditch, to get us through it and educate us. Thank you so much, sir. You're welcome back anytime.
Pleasure to be here.
Thank you. All right, next up is Purefoy Chevrolet. Folks, if you're looking to buy a great car, they got you covered with a full lot of quality vehicles at a place where you're treated like family. Check out the new 2021s at purefoychevrolet.com or give Purefoy a call at 303-659-8311. Purefoy Chevrolet, find new roads. Corey, my blushing bride, where is the best car buying experience you've ever had?
Hands down, Purifoy. And I'm not just saying that because I do not enjoy buying cars. But when we had to buy one, they made it so easy. The financing especially was smooth as silk.
Why?
Well, you walked in and it's true. They were just so friendly. I didn't feel like I was targeted. I needed a car. I didn't want to get a car. And they understood that. They took the time to let me really test drive what we chose. And then they explained and answered every single question that I had.
Folks, there you have it. And by the way, Corey's telling the truth. I like looking at rows of cars and doing all that. I get into it. She hates it. And she actually enjoyed herself at Purifoy. You will too. For a better experience, go to purifoychevrolet.com or give Purifoy a call at 303-659-8311.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purifoy. We're just up the road in Fort Lupton and on the web at purifoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
All right, Golden Eagle Financial, you know your business, but retirement? That's a new world. Social Security, taxes, making your money last. You need Al Smith at 303-744-1128, or you can find Golden Eagle Financial at klzradio.com. Go to someone who knows retirement like you know your job. Golden Eagle Financial.
Al Smith protects your nest egg from the high cost of long-term health care. Once you retire, you have one concern, making your money last. Founder of Golden Eagle Financial, KLZ's retirement planning specialist, Al Smith, has worked in financial services for over three decades, specializing in retirement planning for the past 16 years. After all those years helping people manage their money, Al has spent a lot of time listening to his clients' concerns about retirement. Al has personally seen friends and relatives burn through their nest eggs in a matter of months, spending thousands of dollars a month on hourly health care, either at home or in assisted living. As part of your retirement plan with Golden Eagle Financial, Al will help you find alternative financial products with significant benefits in retirement, ensuring your nest egg can withstand the high cost of long-term health care. Schedule a free consultation with Al Smith now at klzradio.com/money. Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
The Mike Gallagher Show.
He's your happy conservative warrior.
I know that you're trying to make sense out of all of it. Maybe you're like me and you're trying to figure out where to get a vaccine. For a lot of people, the Pfizer and the Moderna two-dose vaccines have been no big deal. They've been fine. And then once I think, okay, I'll just go get the two shot. Then I hear about somebody who was in bed for 3 days.
Breaking news and what to make of it.
Don't miss the next Mike Gallagher Show.
Mike Gallagher, weekday mornings at 8 on KLZ 560.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate sitting in for John Rush along with Corey Pate. And on the line right now, we have Aaron Carney from the Colorado Cattlemen's Association. Aaron, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well, but probably not as well as you are because... our governor decided to make meat a bad word on the 20th. Meatless, whatever that is, the meatless 20th. I don't know what he calls it. But would you say this is the biggest backfire ever?
Yes, I would say that our grassroots producers and people throughout the state responded to that quite big, and they're coming out and celebrating what all the meat has to offer to the state on March 20th.
Yeah, I've heard actually that cows are terrified. They're fleeing the state. They're, in fact, it's really terrible. It's a crisis because coyotes are actually, smuggling cows across state lines and getting them to Nebraska. It's becoming what is it? Yeah, a bovine Aryan crisis, I guess you could call it that. This is unlike anything I have ever seen for stupidity from a governor coming out and saying, don't do something on a day, so now everybody wants to do it.
Yeah, I think farmers and ranchers and consumers all responded like they did because most proclamations out there are to celebrate something.
Right.
And this was excluding something. And so... I think they responded to that, and they responded in a really big way.
I just picture him holding, some broccoli as a scepter or something like this.
Oh, gosh.
The guy, I'm sorry, but it's just so stupid. Why would you do this? Because, and Aaron, you put it perfectly. He didn't say, we are celebrating, vegetables. We are celebrating, if we're in Georgia, the great and mighty peach. or whatever, we actually want you to not eat this one thing. I've never seen that before. Have you?
We have not. And most proclamations are to, I mean, he signed some for Ag Day or to celebrate Colorado Proud Day. And it's all celebrating a sector. And it's, I've never seen one excluding so blatantly and sector that contributes so much to the economy of Colorado.
Yeah, really quick here. My wife here, Corey, is with me today, and we are celebrating in our own way. Corey, go ahead.
Yeah, so it was funny because I think also there's just a lot of pent up just frustration from not being able to socialize very much. So I'm in a Facebook group with a bunch of women. There's about 4,000 of us in this group. And I just posted something silly and I said, let's have a meetup at our house on March 20th. And I spelled meet, M-E-A-T. And I could not believe it. There are hundreds of likes. There's people I've never even met before. Like, when can I come? What time do we start? What can I bring? So it's turning into a statewide party.
We are buying a lot of burgers, just so you know.
Yeah, the reaction that we're seeing, we have an events kind of list of all the events taking place throughout the state, and we have hundreds. Businesses are handing out free hamburgers. We have local cattlemen's groups hosting a barbecue. Businesses and restaurants that were hard hit during the pandemic are offering meat specials. So it's really, really cool to see everybody kind of coming out and celebrating this.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. Well, a friend of mine is the one who actually brought the Cattlemen's Association to my attention. And she had sent me a link where people could get stickers and other fun memorabilia for their events. Are those items still available?
They are still available. And those are through our Beef Council, which is the promotion arm of the beef industry. And yeah, you can get stickers, some banners, and even educational brochures to talk you through. If you're not quite comfortable cooking a meat product, it will talk you through how to have your best product and have your best beef product.
That's awesome that you're providing that people can kind of get into this and have fun with it. I'm actually picturing, you know, lines of hundreds of people out in front of Arby's on the 20th. I can't understand why people are doing this. I almost wonder, are you guys like providing maybe counseling and so forth for the cows who thought that they were they probably thought they were going to make it a lot longer, and now they've been informed, I'm sorry, it's we need you.
Oh gosh.
Are you holding a draft? I mean, what are you doing next? Bringing cows in, are you bringing cows in from Nebraska and surrounding states?
As of right now, I believe the supplies are pretty, we're pretty good on the supply end in our grocery stores and other local direct companies. I can say if you're struggling to find somewhere to purchase beef, we also have a list on the Beef Council's website of where you can purchase some beef products grown in Colorado.
Okay, and that's what I was going to get to next is your organization. We've had some fun with this at our governor's expense, which I'm sorry, it's impossible not to. But let's but talk about the Cattlemen's Association. Where did that come from? Give me a little bit of history because I just love the entire idea.
Yes. So actually, CCA was founded in 1867. So that's 9 years before Colorado even became a state. And the whole basis of why we were organized and founded was based on cattle theft. So there was a
really
big cattle theft ring in Colorado. And this is actually quite a funny story. As the story goes, it was founded and there was a big cattle theft ring in Colorado. And they hired a big new private detective in the Denver area. They were holding their first meeting, and the Denver detective said, I've been investigating this, and I have good news, and I have bad news. The good news was he had found the theft ring and who was involved. The bad news was is it was our president, secretary, and other people in that room. So
oh.
No one knows what happened to the president and secretary. There's no more records of them, but I guess you can leave it up to your own imagination.
Oh, my gosh.
Back in 1867.
That's a fabulous story.
Oh, my gosh. That is so cool. But you guys are, but I, you know, Aaron, you don't seem like you're involved in major crime. So you guys are a very successful and right now incredibly popular organization. What do you guys do nowadays, year to year?
Yeah, so cattle theft is still an issue in Colorado, not as big as it was in 1867, but I would say the issues in Colorado are a little more complicated than they were in 1867. So we advocate for beef producers daily, whether that be at the legislative, at the Capitol, at regulatory agencies. We have some educational programs for producers. So we're a member-based organization with members all across the state, all sizes. And you can own cattle or you can just be interested in the cattle industry to join.
Well, that sounds like a really interesting part of our economy I hadn't even really thought about before.
Yeah, I mean, do you know, so many people today, especially, let's face it, there's a lot of people in Colorado who, like, look at meat as evil. Do you guys do anything to, like, raise the profile of the beef industry and kind of help people understand, hey, you're the good guys?
Yes, so we actually, us as an association, we mostly work on the policy side and the advocating side at the Capitol. We actually have a beef council, which is our checkoff, which works on promotion, education, and throughout the entire beef industry. So producers pay into that, and then they create ads, they have social media, they have they teach people how to cook beef, great beef products, and they're a great partner for us as an association.
Okay, well, Aaron, how can people learn a little bit more about you guys? Where can they go? And what do you think you have coming up?
Yes, so if they wanted to go to our website at coloradocattle.org, you can see everything that we're dealing with, but we also have a tab for the Meat In Movement, and that is specifically dedicated to our March 20th events leading up to it. And we have Eat Beef apparel. We have a list of events where you can find some meet-in events on March 20th throughout the entire state. And if you're interested in donating to this cause, there's a form there as well. But we, as beef producers in the association, would encourage you to meet in a restaurant, meet your friends for some beef products.
And especially on the 20th?
And especially on March 20th.
I'm telling you what, every steakhouse on the 20th is going to have a waiting list, just so you know. So everybody, go ahead.
We sure hope so. We hope beef or meat has record-breaking consumption on March 20th.
Fantastic. Well, Aaron Carney from the Colorado Cattlemen's Association, thank you so much for joining us. I'd love to have you back sometime.
I would love it. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Take care. Okay, folks, after the break, just so you know, Corey's going to step out for a few minutes. I'm going to be joined by Dan Muir. We're going to be talking about Joe Biden's war on Uber drivers. Sounds pretty terrifying, doesn't it?
Well, that sounds pretty silly, actually.
It's very silly. But first, American National Insurance. Folks, with fires, blizzards, and just about everything going wrong, you need someone who always treats you right. Make sure you have the coverage you really need in unpredictable times by calling Paul Leuenberger at 303-662-0789.
Paul Leuenberger with American National Insurance offers a rebate program unlike any other. Every year that you don't file a claim, you get a certain percentage of your money back. Just one example of how Paul Leuenberger, the personal insurance agent of John Rush, keeps your rates so low. He rewards his customers for their diligence and responsibility. Paul can also help you strategize about when to file a claim and when to pay out of pocket so you save more money in the long run. You don't want to shop online for insurance because you have no idea what you're buying. You need Paul Leuenberger with American National, the No Surprises Insurance Agent. Call 303-662-0789. That's 303-662-0789. And ask Paul Leuenberger with American National Insurance for details about his unique rebate program for home and auto insurance. Talk to somebody with the expertise to advise you so you get the coverage you expect.
The most frustrating part of getting your vehicle repaired is not knowing what they're charging you for. The team at Extreme Auto Repair has nothing to hide. Sean, Mike, Dave, and the whole team at Extreme Auto Repair in Parker want you to understand what's going on with your vehicle so you know how to prioritize your spending. They'll always be transparent because you're the one spending money. You need to know what's wrong so you can focus on the most important repairs first. Just ask, and they'll be more than happy to take you back to the service bay, open up the hood to show you what's going on, or hand you the part that's not functioning. Their philosophy is, why hide it? You might not know what to look for on your own, and the bill makes a lot more sense when you can actually see the part. Plus, you'll feel better knowing that they're not charging you for services you don't need. Take a look together. Schedule a repair now at klzradio.com/extreme. Promise is kept.
Truth contradicts reality. We're number one. Judicial Watch has sued the state of Colorado because a 2019 study showed that 40 of Colorado's 64 counties had voter registration rates exceeding 100% of the eligible citizen voting age population. This is the highest in the nation. Kim Munson here. Friday, Boulder County GOP Chair Teresa Watson sheds light on the important work they are doing regarding election integrity. Show sponsor Hal Van Herkey updates us on the latest at Castlegate Knife and Tool. That's Friday, 6 to 7 a.m., 1 to 2 p.m., again 10 to 11 p.m. right here on KLZ 560 and KLZ 100.7 FM.
Communication is power. Want to be a better communicator? Check out Liberty Toastmasters. Find more details at KimMunson.com. Toastmasters, where leaders are made.
Now back to Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate sitting in for John Rush. Corey is going to take a break right now because I'm joined by none other than Dan Muir. Dan, how are you?
You know, this makes me question your sanity. Why in the world you would ever trade me in, you know, for Corey? I do not understand this. This does not make sense to me whatsoever.
Yeah, I want to tell you right now, in terms of eye candy value, I've gone... I've gone from, you know, the greatest bowl of ice cream to, you know, some kind of moldy meatloaf.
Well, my son calls me the human almond.
You know, he's got a point.
He doesn't he really, the bald head, the tan, the bald, you know, just, you know.
He really does like have a point. He doesn't. Could you at least wear a wig?
Well, I have one. It's a blonde wig, and I look really crazy in it.
That'd be great.
I'll wear it for you sometime.
Okay, well, before we move any further, yes. We got an issue here going on. Joe Biden has decided, now he's actually terming this bill the Destroy Dan Muir Bill.
It is. That's actually the subtitle.
I don't know how he even knows about you. That's incredible.
Well, he does because I was a evil Trump supporter.
Oh, yeah. By the way, did you know that they've still got thousands of military personnel and high walls and barbed wire around the Capitol because they're worried about Dan Muir attacking them?
Yeah, they're afraid I'm going to show up in my little Uber car, try to make a little money on the side, you know, with my gig job, my gig economy
job.
Yeah,
I'm going to tell you right now, you do scare me.
Oh, I do? Why?
Well, just because, you know, your little Uber car, your little gig job. Okay, tell me. How is Joe Biden going to destroy your life? And by the way, you're right.
Well, it's not just Joe Biden. It's all the Democrats.
Yeah, I know.
And now there's five rascally little Republicans that have signed on with this thing.
No!
Yes,
in the Senate?
No, in the House.
Okay.
In the House. But that still upsets me because not one Republican should have signed off on this because there's no way this should be called a bipartisan bill. And what the bill is, it's the Protect the Right to Organize Act. It's H.R. 482. And they call it the PRO Act. And this is a pro-union act beyond any pro-union act ever devised.
Okay, now is this one of these huge omnibus level across the board a million different things acts?
Yeah.
Or
of
is
course.
It where only one part really affects you, or is it pretty direct?
This affects anybody that wants to work and doesn't want to be part of a union. And so if you are, let's say you're an insurance company and you've got independent contractors working for your insurance company, not anymore. So they're going to have to become part of your employee. They're going to have to become employees. just like what they want to try to do with the whole gig economy. They want to turn the gig economy employee, let's say, or the gig economy worker, the gig economy independent contractor. They want to make them employees of Uber, Lyft, DoorDash, or whatnot, so they can then be unionized, and then they can pay their union dues to the DNC, of course.
Yes, of course. It's a money laundering organization.
Absolutely.
Here's the thing that gets me, okay? Why can't people simply decide where they want to work and work there?
Because that's not how the collective thinks. Andy, you know this, being brought up in a progressive household.
I do.
You know that they do not like the individual. They like themselves. They like themselves because they know how to run your life better than you do.
Oh, yeah.
But they don't want the individual out there doing their own thing.
Oh, totally. The whole idea that there are people out there actually living life as they want, but holding views that are different from me, that's offensive. I must crush that.
Absolutely.
And I can't allow them to make the living that they want. That's got to be crushed. So now you're looking at Uber drivers, Lyft drivers, Grubhub, DoorDash, and all this, Uber Eats. And you're looking at all of them and saying, hey, you have to become an actual employee of that company. Now, there are people, I'm sure, who say, well, what's so bad about that? There's a lot bad about that.
Well, there's a lot bad about that. First of all, the freedom that these jobs provide people. You know, first of all, they can't stand that. They can't stand the fact that I set my own hours. I do what I want to do when I want to do it. And I can pretty much make what I want when I want to.
That's
they can't
terrible.
Stand that.
That's like freedom.
And if you, I know, right? And if you're somewhat business savvy, you can set yourself up as a business, take advantage of the business tax write-offs, all these other sorts of things that you can do as an independent contractor that you can't do as an employee.
It's incredibly freeing. I just want to ask really quick, as you drive, do you wear like one of those white wigs that the founding fathers wore?
I do.
Okay.
I wear my whole patriotic.
So you don't do the almond thing?
So, no,
the human almond thing?
I try not to
be
the human almond. I'm really afraid they're going to get me confused with a peanut M&M. And I just don't want to get eaten.
Okay. Well, moving on. Here's the thing also. What about benefits?
Benefits? Yeah, I buy my own insurance. I mean,
You know, a lot of people who work for these companies, they work other jobs. They have their own benefits elsewhere. And if they want to get benefits, like you said, they could buy them somewhere. There's a lot of ways to do that. They have freedom. But if a company knows that they've got to bring you in, and they've got to give out benefits and this kind of thing, they know they're going to cripple themselves by doing this, and they can't provide what they've been providing.
No, this will eventually lead to the end of the gig economy. So in other words, your Grubhub, your DoorDash, your Uber, your Lyft apps, they'll just disappear eventually.
Is this basically being driven by the taxi drivers as well as other leftists?
Well, it's being driven by leftists and the unions. Yes. Let me give you a quick example.
Yeah,
okay. So I've been working this now for almost 6 years. I've been a Lyft driver for almost 6 years. Okay. When I first started going out to the airport, when you would drive out there, it would be me surrounded by 15 or 20 taxi cabs.
Okay.
Okay. Today, it's one taxi cab being surrounded by 50 or 75 Uber and Lyft cars.
Right.
Okay.
Because it's a better option in the free market.
Yes, it is. But here's the problem with that, is that government doesn't have control over us like they did the taxis. You had to buy your hack license. You had to get all your city permits. You had to pay all these taxes. They were unionized. All those things fed the government, where Uber and Lyft drivers, the gig economy doesn't feed the government like they did.
Okay, bottom line, let's go through some rapid fire questions here. This is going to be terrible for all these drivers. You're talking tens of millions of Uber, Lyft, and so DoorDash drivers. Are they going to be mad at the Democrats for doing this?
Not initially, because a lot of them don't understand what's going to happen. So a lot of them don't understand what's going to happen from the standpoint of they're going to lose their flexibility, and eventually they're going to lose the amount of income that they're making doing what they're doing today. So they don't get it.
But they'll be mad pretty soon. They don't like change. Look, these people, they like flexibility. That's why they get these jobs. They don't like things sweeping in. Next question, how is this going to affect customers? Because customers love Uber, Lyft, and these things. They love it.
Yeah, I mean, eventually, once the supply is gone,
right,
they're going to be forced to go back into this is the reinstate the taxi cab bill.
Yes.
So this is, you know, they're going to be forced to go back into stinky cabs driving around, you know, whatever.
But taxis are more expensive.
Yes.
They are. And by the way, a lot of people are going to be looking at this saying, I don't like that. I don't want to spend that kind of money. And so they're basically just killing a market. The government
absolutely
is coming in with a hammer and killing a market because it's going to become much more expensive. And by the way, Uber, Lyft, and these guys, if they're having to offer benefits, if they're having to offer a lot of things that are barely used right now, right?
Yeah.
And even, God forbid, unionize, their prices are going to go through the roof.
Their prices are going to go up, and what they actually pay the drivers is going to go down. Because they're going to make it up somewhere. They're going to make it up somewhere. So they're going to, they'll come up with some sort of hourly rate. So instead of being able to go out there on your own and figure out ways to make $50, $60 an hour doing this, you're going to be down to $15, $20 an hour doing this.
Okay, so it's horrible. Last quick question. How does this affect Dan Muir? Because that's who Biden's targeting.
Well, yeah. I mean, it'll affect Dan Muir. If this bill makes it through the Senate, if Schumer pulls the lever and decides to kill the filibuster on this one, then it will basically drive Dan Muir out of this business. I'll have to go find something else to do.
All right.
That's how it is.
Thanks for the terrible news. I do hope it gets stopped in the Senate.
Me too.
Here's hoping. All right. Dan, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey,
that's
Andy,
incredible.
Thanks.
It's been great to be with you again. That's it for hour number two, folks. Corey will be back for hour number three. Until then, keep it right here on Rush to Reason, KLZ 560.